rte.ie/drama-on-one.
And now Drama on One continues with Limekiln Lane, written and performed by Louise Lewis. While most crime decreased during the pandemic, the notable exception was domestic violence, the majority of which was perpetrated against women. On Garda Síochána registered an increase of 25% more complaints and calls for help. Women's Aid responded to a 43% increase in calls from women trapped with abusers at home. Globally, domestic violence statistics became what medical professionals called a pandemic within a pandemic. In tonight's play, Louise Lewis plays a woman at the end of the phone and at the end of her tether. This is Limekiln Lane, written and performed by Louise Lewis, and listeners are advised that the play contains some strong adult themes.
He wouldn't be able for another lockdown. We wouldn't be able for that. No. I'm sorry, I don't know why I called. I haven't done this before. Well, there was one other time, I think, but look, it's okay. It's not that bad. Well, you know yourself, it's complicated. When's an us, is you? I can't believe I'm laughing. Why am I laughing? The kids, they're gone out. Dara took them out. He's 14. Going on 50, poor thing. The girls, they're 10 and 7. Serious little things. Dara minds them for me. He's very good. Wait. No, wait. Stop talking. I need to go. No, I need to go now. Oh, no. No. Please. No, I won't hang up. Just hold on. It's okay. I thought, you know, he was coming back. But it's okay. Oh, you're very good at this. You just listen, is it? It's very calm. And sorry I haven't called you more. People, I'm sure, think, how do you live like that? But it's not every day, and well, it's just, I can't do another lockdown. It just got worse and worse as the weeks went on. The minute he kick off, I'd shove Dara out the door with the girls. He rarely goes for them anyway. They just spend their time moving from the kitchen to the sitting room. He walks in one room, they go in the other. That just goes on all day. They're like yo-yos back and forth. I can't have them schools close again. I can't have them here. Dara started to sleep on the floor of the girls' room on bad nights. And I told him not to call the police. It'll only make it worse. We did that years ago after the youngest was born. I was done with him. But he always got back in. Charm his way in. Countless promises. And I loved him. I even had a cop tell me to give him another chance. With three young kids. I know there are options. I know. I'm not good on my own. But now. It was grand for a while. A few years, really. He was threatening in other ways, but I managed. It was this fucking COVID thing just sent him walking the floors he was. Threw out all me books. The books I read. Didn't want me attention on anything else. Imagine being jealous of books. Oh, me marrying Keys. Oh, I love Maeve Binchy. I know. But me ma got me into her. She left me all her books when she died. She didn't have much, but she loved her stories. All them books gone. Bastard. Sorry. I could forgive a lot, but not that. They were my ma's. I'm sorry. I do miss the reading. Bit of escape. I have a book shoved down the back of the sofa. He's no idea. I've read it 100 times, but... Well, like I said, it's an escape, isn't it? In your head. Oh, and he thought you'd do the homeschooling. Fancied himself as a teacher now that he wasn't working. Full of himself he was. It started out grand, but of course Darren and the girls know more than we do. Jesus, that sent him over the edge. Effing and blinding because he didn't know where some poor African country was. Kids were terrified of him. They have to keep those schools open. The girls are in after school so they don't get home till 5. That's their little haven. I can't be having them here. Not now. Not now. Oh, Jesus. That's him. That's him at the door. I bet he's forgot his key. Shit, shit, shit. Oh no, it's okay. It's just a package for next door. Oh, shopaholic Marion is. That's her next door. Packages coming morning, noon and night for her. But she's been very good to me. Takes the kids in some days if she sees them falling in. Begging me to leave, she does be. He hates her. Well, he hates everything right now. Nothing is right. Well, it never really is, but... Well, and I can't do anything right. He wants us all to be something we're not. And when we don't do what he wants, well, you know. Look, I better go. I have to think. I can't. My sister wants me to stay with her. But we just got the house. Did I say that? Yeah, we just moved in here just before the lockdown. Blessed we were that we got it. Sure, no one's getting houses. I'll never get him out. He's all about the house. And he started on this again. It's only going to get worse. He's probably in the local now. You know, they were serving all through the lockdown. Handing pints out the back they were. He'd be up there early. Arrive home at lunchtime. You wouldn't know who you'd get. Mr. Happy, Mr. Sad, Mr. I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm sorry. He cracked a rib on me second week. I didn't want to go to hospital. Got some painkillers from the Umfla at the end of the road. Horse feckin' tranquilizers more like. Making a killing, he said he was. People were taking all sorts to relieve the boredom. All ages too. Terrible, isn't it? After taking a couple there now. From me cheek, it's killing me. Me vision isn't great either. A hospital? Oh no, no, no. He'll be back soon. I need to get myself together. The kids will be here. I don't want Dara going for him again. God, he gave him a good smack, Dara did, but well, he's only 14. He didn't stand a chance. I thought he'd kill him when he came after him. I got Dara out, but I might not be so lucky next time. Stopping him with Dara, I mean. Or maybe myself. I might not be so lucky next time. Oh, Jesus, I can't leave the kids with him. I don't know what to do. Oh, God. I've got to think. Think. Maybe we can start somewhere else. Can you? Maybe you would... Too many maybes. That's the problem, isn't it? Oh, God, I think my cheek is broken. Oh, can you break your cheek? Did you hear that? Did you? Oh, I might go into Marion. God, these tablets are making me woozy. Oh. No. No, I have to go. No, he'll be back soon. No, I can't. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll hold on.
That was Limekiln Lane, written and performed by Louise Lewis. Sound supervision was by Mark Dwyer, and the director was Goretti Slavin. If you or anyone you know is affected by the issues raised in the play, you can find help and support at rte.ie/helplines. Now, Mary McDermott, CEO of Safe Ireland, Mary Brown, director of Foyle Women's Aid, and Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid, reflect on and discuss the issues raised in tonight's play, Limekiln Lane, written and performed by Louise Lewis.
My name's Sarah Benson. I'm the CEO with Women's Aid. Women's Aid was founded back in 1974 as a response to the lack of support services awareness for victims of domestic violence in Ireland.
I'm Mary McDermott. I'm the CEO of Safe Ireland. And Safe Ireland is long in existence, over 20 years. It is a national social change agency. That's our primary purpose. We're a network of 39 refuges and support services all around the country and under great pressure these days.
My name is Mary Brown. I'm the director of Foyle Women's Aid and the Family Justice Centre here in Foyle. I have worked with Foyle Women's Aid for 27 years. Foyle Women's Aid was set up as a result of the domestic violence and the women's movement in the 70s. There was a lot of domestic violence happening in the city, as there still is, but there was nothing or nowhere to go, and it was very much behind closed doors and nobody talking about it.
I had the chance to listen to the play by Louise Lewis, Limekiln Lane. And coming from my own professional background, I've worked over 20 years in the violence against women sector, including 7 actually delivering the national helpline itself. I found it a really powerful expression of one woman's experience of an abusive relationship.
When I first heard Limekiln Lane, the play, I was really quite moved by it. The first thing that I thought immediately was a woman lifted up the phone and made the call. And that, of course, is probably the most difficult thing to do, because before you get to that point itself, you have to have begun to realise what's happening. You have to be able to name it and take action. And so I found that very powerful.
As a professional in the area, it's interesting to have a play like this and to have different venues of where we can talk about domestic violence and different ways in which we can get the understanding out there of domestic violence.
I suppose I also responded to it very much on a personal level as well. There were certain points in the play which I found really resonated and really cut to the core of the tactics of an abusive relationship, because in just 15 minutes, you know, the unfolding of this woman's life and just how claustrophobic it was and just how fearful she was, but also those other ways in which her husband was targeting her, you know, getting into her head, denying her even, you know, a creative inner life. And there was a particular scene which relates to books and the destruction of books. And that one, that scene probably to me spoke the most to the heart of what an abusive relationship can do, and how cruel it can be. Because while there is no physical violence in that particular act, it was an act that took away her right to an intellectual life, to an imagination, but also really particularly it took away something that was deeply personal to her, because these were an inheritance effectively. They were part of her legacy. So that particular act of cruelty, I think, to me, expressed more than anything else in that play just how horrific it is to live with somebody who is so controlling, so abusive, so motivated to hurt. Yeah, I thought it was very powerful.
When we are trying to understand domestic violence, it can be very difficult. And often we turn to issues such as drink or class or indeed race or anything else we can find to put a blame for where this comes from. And in the context of COVID, Safe Ireland, we're very clear that actually COVID is not causing abuse. It's just exposing it. And it's exposing really deep patterns that have been there for a very long time.
After listening to the short play, Lime Killing Lane, I was just very struck by, you know, it just caused all of the stresses that are there and domestic violence and the pressure that woman was under to lift the phone, because that's how it sounds. You know, they lift the phone, they're terrified in the house, they're terrified in case somebody comes in. They're terrified to speak to you when they do come on. It may be the first time they've talked to anybody. So all of that I just felt was so there, you know, in the play.
The experiences of the woman that were expressed in this play, I've spoken with women who live in the most affluent neighbourhoods of this country. I've spoken to women in, you know, very high professional roles, you know, who are still nonetheless being subjected to that kind of behaviour and abuse. So while, you know, we may sometimes fall into stereotypical tropes around, you know, who is the victim and, you know, and who is the perpetrator, you know, domestic abuse is just so completely democratic in that it is not actually about class. It is actually about misogyny in many cases, but it's really fundamentally about power and control and an individual who wants to exert many different tactics to achieve power and control over their partner, their current or former partner.
You can feel her traumatised state immediately. You can feel her hypervigilance. There's a creeping tension through the drama, her restlessness. You can pick up on her lack of confidence. She's, you know, she makes a reference to not being good on her own. And that's I felt like a clench in my heart when that was in the play, because I was thinking, yes, you know, the confidence goes away, the states of dependence that are created in coercive controlling situations, micromanagement, manipulation, pulling away of your sense of confidence, closing down in your social world, closing down on family. It's kind of an assault on mental health, really. So I felt that very strongly, not good on my own.
There should always be a message of hope, because, you know, those women, while the organisations are here, we just facilitate them and support them. But the women are the strong ones that take the steps, and they are the ones that change their lives. And they are the ones that are best able to tell us how to do that. And they are the ones that are best able to tell their stories so that we understand for the next woman that we're working with.
Domestic violence is not a personal flaw or an individualised problem. It is a large-scale social problem, and we learn it. But by the same token, we can unlearn it, and we believe we can do that. And that's a core element of our work.
You know, plays like this have such an important role as, you know, just in their own right as artistic creations always, you know, and that lovely creative process. But ones that take on subjects like this also have that additional power in that they will speak to people who would never think of picking up the phone to a helpline, and yet they hear something like this and it helps them to think, well, you know, maybe that is something I could do. And if it's like that, you know, maybe it won't be so scary.
The closing line of the play, I really love that. I'll hold on. And of course, my thought is hold on through the line, call again. Not the holding on of surviving under abuse. Reach out, stretch out. There's support there where she can get support and be held on that journey out of that situation.
There we heard the voices of Mary McDermott, CEO of Safe Ireland, Mary Brown, Director of FOIL Women's Aid, and Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid, discussing the issues raised in tonight's play, Lime Kiln Lane, which was written and performed by Louise Lewis. This evening's edition of In the Wings was compiled by Goretti Slaven. And again, if you or anyone you know is affected by the issues raised in the play, you can find help and support at rte.ie/helplines. Next week's Drama on One is The Blue Hyacinth by Maeve Brennan, adapted and directed by Joe O'Byrne. The series producer of Drama on One is Kevin Reynolds.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.